This Is Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. If you're looking for entertainment, there's a lot of places to spend your money. You can go to a movie, a nice restaurant, head to a concert. But if you're in the casino business, it's no longer just about getting someone to come in and gamble. The glut of casinos in the Northeast only adds pressure on developers to make their casino a true destination. Today, Where We Live, we get an update on the latest plans to open more casinos in our region. MGM Springfield is set to open in late 2018. Meanwhile, a partnership between the tribes that operate Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun are in the process of accepting bids to locate a third casino in northern or central Connecticut. The partnership is not without controversy. Later, we'll hear from the chairman of the Mohegan and Mashantucket Pequot tribes about why they've reopened a bidding process for that third Connecticut casino. And we'll also hear from MGM officials about why they believe the Connecticut process is flawed. Later in the hour, we'll talk with two towns in Connecticut vying for the new casino. Do we really need more gaming destinations? What's at stake for Connecticut tribes and local residents with the opening of MGM Springfield? We want to hear from you, 860-275-7266. You can email wherewelive at WNPR.org. Find us on Facebook and Twitter at Where We Live. Joining me now in studio is Kenneth Goslin, business reporter for the Hartford Current. Welcome to the show, Ken.
Hi, Lucy. Thanks for having me.
And on the phone is Dan Glahn. He's a reporter at MassLive.com in Springfield, Massachusetts. Hi, Dan.
Thanks, Lucy. Happy to be here.
I'll start with Ken because we're here in Connecticut. How did the competing tribes, the Mashantucket Pequots and Mohegans, who run Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun, how did they come together to to make this third casino happen?
Well, there really was a big concern on both their parts. I mean, they're these fierce competitors, obviously, down in southeastern Connecticut. And with the expansion of casino gambling now coming in Massachusetts, not only in Springfield, but elsewhere in the state, New York, and over in Rhode Island, and it's just all around them, they really saw a threat to, you know, their revenues, okay, that are coming into their respective casinos and entertainment complexes that they have. But also legislators and others in the state saw that this as taking a possible hit, okay, to the revenues that the state gets from casino gambling in Connecticut and also the jobs that are associated with them. So they came together and decided that they wanted to maybe open a third casino to kind of, you know, counteract some of that competition.
You've been covering this closely. When Springfield was awarded the gaming license, or was it the Connecticut tribes that were coming to their legislators down in the southeast corner saying, we're in big trouble if we don't find a way to compete?
Yes, that was part of what happened there. There was concern, obviously, among lawmakers, some of them, not everyone, but some of them. But the tribes were, of course, worried on how this would affect their operations here. And so then this kind of then developed, okay, and the legislature in 2015 gave them permission to start looking for a location in north central Connecticut. I mean, at one point there was a thought of maybe we'll do three, but then the legislature thought maybe just focusing on one location would be better.
There's a lot of questions about this partnership, and we're going to get to that later in the show. But I wanted to turn now to the reporter out of Springfield, Dan Glahn. We know that MGM Resorts International has been working to build this $950 million resort casino in Springfield. Explain where they are in the process, Dan.
So they've made a lot of progress. It's been about a five-year process at this point since Massachusetts passed an expanded gaming act in 2011, which essentially allowed three casinos in the western, central, and eastern parts of the state to sort of get the ball rolling and start developing. MGM was chosen in 2013 by the city after two other competitors in western Massachusetts dropped out, including actually Mohegan Sun, who was trying to build a casino in Palmer nearby. And now, after a couple of years of sort of tussling with regulators and city councilors and a lot of, you know, delays over the project, which was originally supposed to open in fall of 2017. They've received all their approvals. There are construction cranes and concrete being poured in this 14.5-acre lot in downtown Springfield. And from everything they're saying, it seems like they're on target to meet that 2018 opening date.
And how has the community accepted this project? I know, was it Milford and Palmer, even East Boston? None of those residents wanted a casino in their neighborhood. You know, why are Springfield residents
you know, in favor of this this resort casino?
Well, there certainly was a lot of opposition, but I think it pretty much comes down to economics. Springfield has long been one of the more economically depressed urban centers in Massachusetts. Even now, well into the recovery, the unemployment rate is hovering around 7.5% compared to around 4% statewide. And that's certainly been the pitch by Mayor Dominic Sarno, who has been one of the project's biggest boosters. He sees it as part of what he calls this $2.7 billion in economic development that's currently ongoing in the city. They've promised to create 3,000 permanent jobs, 2,000 construction jobs. They have hiring targets for minority and women-owned firms, for local employees and contractors as well. And so it really is seen as sort of a centerpiece for revitalizing the downtown, which, in addition to having economic issues, was hit so hard by the tornado in June of 2011.
And for the people in Springfield who don't believe that a casino should be there in their city, what are their thoughts?
Well, they have a lot of thoughts. There was an organized campaign against it. The casino process actually survived two votes. There was a local referendum where MGM was approved, and then there was a statewide ballot initiative in 2014 to try to repeal the casino law, which failed. And I mean, their arguments, you know, range from being anti-gaming in its entirety to concerns from some of the city councilors over the last couple of years that, you know, worries that MGM wasn't going to live up to its commitments, or that because they changed the design of the project some, that they were considering backing out, which is something that MGM has always denied.
You said that they'd changed part of the original plan. Was that in any response to what's been happening in Connecticut with the two tribes partnering to open a casino to compete with MGM Springfield?
They would say no. So essentially, the casino was originally supposed to cost around $800 million. Now it's $950 due to what the company says has been delays and spikes in construction costs. And those costs, they say, led them to get rid of plans for a 25-story hotel tower and replace it with sort of a block-long six-story hotel. And that was sort of the most dramatic visual change that sparked a lot of concerns among some city councilors here in Springfield. But when you ask, you know, MGM Springfield people about what's going on in Connecticut, they'll typically say they're focused on the project here, although obviously the company at large has, you know, put a lot of work into opposing the project south of the border.
That's right. And again, this is Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil speaking with Dan Glahn, a reporter at MassLive.com in Springfield. In studio, Kenneth Gosselin, business reporter for the Hartford Courant. Ken, let's explore that. So MGM Resorts International has been spending a lot of time trying to counter what Connecticut's doing. Can you explain how they've been spending money here to, you know, raise opposition to this idea here?
Well, they've, of course, gone to court, directly to court, to challenge the state law that allowed this whole thing to unfold as it has. And they did lose the first round in that, but they are appealing that. So that is one front. They've also been very active in kind of hammering away at the proposal that was at the Bradley International Airport up there, really going at that as from the perspective of that the negotiations were done in secret, the authority was not forthcoming with what some of the details are. They went to the Freedom of Information Commission. They got some of the information that they were looking for, but not all of it, especially what the discussions in executive session were. So they've been really coming at this from all fronts, very aggressively with video ads on Facebook. It's all over the place.
And funding a study that would say that, you know, this is the wrong place. Northern and central Connecticut is the wrong place, according to MGM, to be building a casino. Why not the southwest corner?
Right, exactly. They are really focusing on that. That's where it should be.
If you have questions, you want to join the conversation, 860-275-7266. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Where We Live. You know, Ken, I wanted to just explore again this idea that, you know, they're looking, the two tribes are looking to find a site for the third casino. This is unusual, though, right? So this is not tribal land.
Right. It's a major, major step for not only them but for the state, because what you'd be doing, in effect, is establishing a commercial casino. Okay. And there's a lot of issues that kind of come around that, because, you know, on the tribes, they have their sovereignty done on their reservations. But once you take it off the reservation, okay, so how does that affect taxation, you know, cut of slot revenue? So there's a lot of issues that have to be talked about and worked out, okay? So it is a fairly major step forward. And not only that, just the two tribes actually wanting to cooperate together on something is unprecedented, really.
And Dan, I'll turn back to you again, reporter at MassLive.com. What's the take from Springfield officials? Are they worried about this third casino here in Connecticut?
The public line is no, that they're exclusively focused on opening the casino on time and that they're convinced it will be a market success regardless of what gets built south of the border. But as Ken said, I mean, I think the increasing aggressiveness of MGM Resorts International's campaign down there, both legally and in sort of like the public relations initiative that they've launched, suggests that it is a concern for the company overall. Both, you know, MMCT, the tribal company, and MGM Springfield have spent, at this point, hundreds of thousands of dollars lobbying state government in Connecticut. So it's definitely an active issue for them.
Dan, you mentioned MGM is set on opening on time. I'll turn it back to Ken. We know that the two tribes have reopened the bid process, and so how will that impact them competing with the start time for MGM Springfield in late 2018?
Well, about a year ago when they put out the first RFP, they called the Request for Proposals, they seem to be in a very big hurry to get this thing going. But what has happened now, it has really slowed down. Obviously, a year has gone by. They ran into things that they didn't anticipate, local politics, you know, need for approvals. Now they're going back out again, okay, and looking for, because some of the proposals have changed a little bit, so they're looking for updates and maybe others that come along. So this has really slowed down the process, and they still have to go back to the legislature for the final approval of this. So they had initially wanted to be open by time MGM or before they were open, but that's unclear whether that could actually happen now because in construction you're usually looking, you know, 18, 24 months to get something going, although if they had an existing structure they're going to retrofit might go quicker.
That's Ken Goslin, business reporter for the Hartford Courant. He's going to stick around. Dan Glahn, I want to thank you, reporter at MassLive.com, for joining the show today.
Yeah, thanks so much.
When we return, we're going to hear from MGM Resorts International, also the chairman of the Mashantucket, Pequot, and Mohegan tribes. Stay with us. And again, you can join that conversation, 860-275-7266. We'll take your calls and comments after the break. This is Where We Live. This is Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. A casino drama has been brewing between MGM Resorts International, which is building a casino in Springfield, Massachusetts, and the partnership between Connecticut's Mohegan and Mashantucket Pequot tribes. Hartford Current business reporter Ken Goslin is with me in studio today as we explore the process of opening a third casino in Connecticut to compete with MGM Springfield, slated to open in 2018. To get MGM's perspective, we're joined now by Alan Feldman, who's Executive Vice President of Global Government and Industry at MGM Resorts International, also Chairman of the Board for the National Center for Responsible Gaming. Alan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lucy. I appreciate the invite.
So MGM has been very outspoken, spending a lot of money to point out that what you believe is the process of the state of Connecticut is flawed in how they're pursuing this third casino. What are your main objectives?
Well, I think it's to point out that the decision that's being made in Connecticut is very significant. This is a very big policy decision about something that's entirely new, entirely different. This is about expanding Connecticut into commercial gaming. And we're fully supportive of that. We think that that's a fine idea. But the policy that has been put in place and the process that's been put in place is very flawed. In most states, when this kind of decision is made, a very open, transparent, and most importantly, very competitive process is put in place. And you can see what happened in Massachusetts. There were bidders from all around the country who came to Massachusetts, including Mohegan Sun, including us, including other major companies. And there was a very public process of competition to determine who was going to win the licenses. In Connecticut right now, you have only the MMCT as the entity that's in charge. There is no public agency. There is no public process. And it's very secretive, and it's very hard to know what's going on. And this just isn't the right way to be doing this.
Let me ask, if the bid process had been open, instead of Connecticut lawmakers approving this tribe partnership, would MGM have bid to build a Connecticut casino?
We've been interested in Connecticut for more than two decades. I can remember quite a bit of time spent in Connecticut, in and around the Bridgeport area in the early 90s, taking a look at the possibilities of developing a casino project there. Connecticut still has room for growth. The problem is that the way in which the process is structured now, it's really all about what is going to be in the best interests just of MMTC, as opposed to taking a look at what may be in the best interest of the state. And I think if you take a look at what's in the best interest of the state, where the state gets the most jobs and the most revenues, undeniably you'd have to be looking at southwestern Connecticut.
Alan, we're getting a tweet from a listener. Joe writes, build it in Bridgeport, Harbor Point, siphon gamblers from New York instead of competing with Springfield and include the Golden Hill Indians. I want to turn to our business reporter here, Ken Glahn from the Hartford Current. The Bridgeport discussion, well before my time, update our listeners on why a casino was never opened down there, Ken.
Well, when they were in the 90s, as Alan mentions, there was discussion of where, you know, the another casino might go. And that was really kind of a little bit before I was covering. But they decided to keep it in critical mass in southeastern Connecticut.
And so, Alan, your MGM.
If I could just add a little bit, because I was there at the time. Governor Weicker made a very calculated political and, frankly, beneficial decision for the state at that time to cut off debate about whether or not there would be a commercial casino in Connecticut by signing an exclusive deal with the Mashantucket Pequot. And that deal subsequently was expanded to include Mohegan Sun. And that's what's been in place now for 20 years, that original compact, which gave the tribes exclusive rights to gaming in the state in exchange for 25% of the slot revenue. And as everyone in Connecticut knows, the Pequot Fund has provided billions of dollars over the years to the state of Connecticut, to the people of Connecticut. And I think it's important to remember that that this isn't about whether or not Mohegan and Foxwoods are good places, or good people, or well-run. They're terrific. They're terrific competitors. We compete with them in other places. We competed with them in Massachusetts, and they operate casinos in other states as well. This really is about the policy decision for Connecticut, which has always been tribal gaming has an exclusive right in this state. If you move to commercial gaming, and again I say a move to commercial gaming is perfectly fine, but you've got to consider the ramifications of that, part of which includes understanding what's going to happen to the Pequot Fund. But also, you've got to open up a process that allows for open and transparent competitive bidding, not just for MGM, for any company.
Alan, before I take a call from a listener, you mentioned ramifications. What about ramifications on society? You know, there's the other side of this where people who don't agree with gambling and states and local governments promoting casinos just so that they can gain more revenue.
Well, there's nothing I can do to convince someone who is fundamentally opposed to gambling as a form of government activity. But I mean, I think we really need to take stock of where we are in 2016 across the United States and understand that the public has voted on this, if only with their purchase decisions and with their choice of entertainment options. Gambling is one of the most popular entertainment forms in the country. It ranks well up above attending sporting events, above attending movies. It's a choice. And frankly, I think if the public is going to choose this activity, then it ought to be done in a properly regulated and taxed environment. The operators ought to be legitimate and licensed and have the obligation of proving and maintaining their integrity to the public all the time. And in states across the country, whether it's tribal gaming or commercial gaming, that's being done every single day. So I appreciate that there are people who choose not to go. No one's forcing them to. You know, we don't expect to win any public vote 100% to nothing. But at the same time, I think that most reasonable people would expect that if the activity is going to exist, and it clearly exists in very large numbers, Americans enjoy this activity very greatly, that it should be done in a responsible, licensed and regulated way.
We're also getting another tweet from a listener. Quinn writes, casinos disproportionately affect socioeconomically depressed communities. And I want to take a call now. Kayla is calling from Norwich. Kayla, you're on Where We Live. Kayla, you're on Where We Live. What's your question?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You seem very worried about the Two Tribes effort to build this new facility. By doing so, aren't you basically admitting that your casino in Springfield is doomed for failure if Mohegan and Mashantuck at Pequot are successful?
All right. I think that's a question for you, Alan, from Kayla.
Kayla, thank you for the question. None of us are doomed to failure. All of us are going to be successful. The question ultimately here is, what's in the best interest for the state of Connecticut? There's no question that there will be impact when we open. There will be some impact on the operations of the Two Tribes that are in Connecticut, and that may conceivably put pressure on their obligations to the state under their compact. I think it's a very reasonable question, a very appropriate question for Connecticut to say, well, what is that impact likely to be, and is there a reaction? Is there something we should be thinking about doing? I don't think that just opening a slot box north in, you know, in northern Hartford is going to actually provide for any real meaningful long-term benefit for the people of Connecticut. And certainly doing that in a process that is as secretive and anti-competitive as this, that is doomed to failure. That process is doomed to failure. And in fact, you can see it every day in downtown Hartford. When you have a process that's a single bid secretive process, you end up with a baseball stadium that you can't open.
How did I know you were going to go there, Alan? But fair point. And I do want to thank Alan Feldman, Executive Vice President of Global Government and Industry Affairs at MGM Resorts International, also Chairman of the Board from the National Center for Responsible Gaming. MGM, again, is a developer of a $950 million casino and entertainment complex in Springfield, slated to open in 2018. Thank you, Alan, for your time today.
Thank you very much.
And now I want to turn it to the Connecticut Tribes. Rodney Butler, Mashantucket Pequot Tribal Council Chairman, and Kevin Brown, Mohegan Tribal Council Chairman. Again, both tribes are jointly working together to open a third Connecticut casino. They join the show now. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Lucy.
And I'll start with you, Kevin Brown, first, from the Mohegan Tribe. Respond to the criticism that this process was not open and it's not competitive and there's an issue with transparency, Kevin.
Well, obviously, our immediate response to that is that that is, in fact, not the case. You know, this entire process has been open in open hearings in front of the Connecticut legislature. The bid process was initiated by the Department of Consumer Protection for the state of Connecticut. And the receipt of responses to the request for proposals have been through an independent real estate firm, Pierce Realty, where each and every competitor has the opportunity to ask questions, have those questions answered, and have all those questions and answers online for everyone to view so that everyone can stay attuned to the process.
And why reopen the bid process? Explain the reasoning behind that.
Yeah, that's a very difficult question, or I should say it's an easy question, but it's because of a very difficult process that we've been through. You know, looking at all of these sites side by side, we have received a number of entries, and each of them is equally feasible. The problem is that there's an imbalance between the pros and cons with each of the sites that we're currently looking at. Take that and add the fact that each of our current competitors has come to us with potential adjustments, new nuances to the RFP responses they turned in, and it seemed to be a good time for us to restart the process to allow those current competitors and municipalities to provide these new and different options. And while doing that, why not let other communities enter if they so desired here at this stage? And none of that is about a slowdown. I mean, let's keep in mind, we always had the second legislative session targeted as when we would look for a decision. The first session gave us the authorization to proceed down this path, and the upcoming session was when a decision would be made.
Before I go to Rodney Butler, who is the chairman of the Mashantucket Pequot Tribal Council, Kevin, you mentioned this, that this opening up this second bid process is not a slowdown. We know MGM Springfield is slated to open in late 2018 with this process reopening again here in Connecticut. Will this casino, this third casino, if built, still be able to compete on time with MGM Springfield?
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, look, as Mr. Feldman himself identified, we are a world class gaming company, as are the Pequots over at Foxwoods. What we build will compete. There's no question about that. Inside of your question is probably the point of when do we put a shovel in the ground and when do we cut a ribbon. And the fact of the matter is if we repurpose an existing facility, we can make that 18 to 24-month timeline that Ken Goslin pointed out for you. And even if we don't, the facility that we build will absolutely be competitive.
I'll turn now to Rodney Butler, again, chair of the Mashantucket Pequot Tribal Council. Rodney, thank you for joining the show.
Absolutely. Good morning, Lucy, and thank you.
So tell us, what's at stake? If Connecticut were not to build this third casino, what's at stake for the casinos that you and Kevin operate down the southeast corner?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question. That kind of leads to the broader comment that you headlined the program with of does Connecticut need a new casino? And from our perspective, this really isn't a new casino. There's casinos here today that have been very successful, and as Alan Feldman pointed out himself, that have donated, you know, over $7 billion, contributed over $7 billion to the state of Connecticut, in addition to the tens of thousands of jobs that we've created. And so, but really, what's at stake is the preservation of those jobs and the preservation of those revenues that every single municipality in the state of Connecticut relies on to balance their budget. So that's what's at stake here, thousands of jobs, municipal funding, and state revenue.
With the reopening of this bid process, you know, some would wonder if there are some disagreements among the tribes. Again, you guys have been competitors for a long time. Can you talk to that point?
Well, I will say that we've been competitors for a long time, but we've been distant cousins for a lot longer than that. So we go back several hundred years, and we've had a great relationship working together. And this isn't about differences amongst the two tribes. It's really about getting this process right and being very careful in about how we proceed, because it's so important not only to us but to the state and all of our employees.
Kevin and Rodney, I do want to take some calls from our listeners, Connecticut residents. Pam is calling from Ledyard. Pam, you're on Where We Live.
Hi. This is a very interesting show, and I think my questions might be a little bit different than what you're talking about. You're talking about the process and the bidding process and all that stuff. But I don't think that has anything to do with how this affects people's lives. I mean, I live down in Ledyard. It's a hassle to live around the casino with the traffic and the crime and things like that. And I honestly don't know where the money is going to come from to support all this gambling. It seems to me the pie is fixed, and you're just going to cut it into smaller and smaller slices. And the older people who are gambling won't be gambling for much longer. The millennials, I don't think, have the money to gamble. And I know that one of the commentators said that everybody's going to win and no one is doomed for failure, but look at Atlantic City. Atlantic City is easy to get to, and it's having severe economic troubles, and these casinos won't be easy to get to. So I don't understand. I mean, it's not a great win for the people, in my opinion, having lived with it.
All right, Pam, thank you for your comment. I'll let Rodney and Kevin both answer.
Thank
Rodney,
you
first.
Absolutely, Pam, and thank you so much, and appreciate you as a fellow former Ledyard resident, and many of my family live in Ledyard. We certainly understand the concerns that you share. And the reality is you're right. You know, it is a fixed pie, and everyone's fighting for a bigger slice of it. And with the new entrant of Springfield coming into the market, that's going to shrink the pie for Connecticut. And as you've seen as a resident of Ledyard, you know, unfortunately, we've had to address the competitive nature of Rhode Island coming on board and New York coming online, and we've had to reduce our workforce. And those are, you know, residents of Ledyard and like in the region, and that's impactful to us, and we're trying to protect that, and that's why we're proceeding with this initiative.
And Kevin Brown?
Yes, if I could just add, you know, I appreciate Pam's concern about whether we're relying on gaming revenues, but I would point to Mr. Feldman's comment that, in fact, you know, across this nation, it is one of the revenue generators from a recreational entertainment standpoint, and so we're all just trying to do the best we can to make sure that that opportunity is provided in the right way, and that right way includes limiting crime. I mean, there have been a number of studies done, and this is always one of those favorite talking points about the crime that casinos bring. But the fact of the matter is while the magnitude may increase, the per capita crime rate is the same or reduces.
Ken Goslin's here. He's the business reporter for the Hartford Current. I know both gentlemen, you know him well. Ken, you know, what's your take on what Pam was asking in terms of, you know, market saturation and what are the real benefits for residents?
Well, certainly the, as everyone's been talking about, the pie is shrinking because there is so much competition in it. Casino gambling is no longer the novelty that it was once was, I guess, if that is the right word, when it first started in Connecticut. And I think Chairman Brown and Chairman Butler have been addressing that by diversifying in what they are doing. They are, you know, the shopping and the sports and the concerts as a way to bring people in who aren't necessarily gamblers. Okay, so but certainly the core of the casino gambling is under this huge amount of pressure right now.
This is Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. Today we're talking about the casino industry in the region. You can join the conversation, 860-275-7266. Again, 860-275-7266. I'm going to take a call now. David's calling from Woodbury. David, you're on Where We Live.
Oh, hi. Hi, Lucy. Hi, everybody. Well, just to put it bluntly, it's not gaming. It's gambling. And I'm just against it. It can put families asunder. At the other end, a couple of times a year, it's a kind of an entertainment. You expect to win or lose, but it's for too many people. It's a family breaking a problem, and we have two established ones in southeastern Connecticut. Two is enough, and we do not need another one. Thank you very much.
All right, David, thank you for your call. Rodney Butler with the Mashantucket Pequot Tribe. Obviously, this is a sentiment that you and your colleague, Kev, at the other tribe are familiar with.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I don't gamble, right? And I have family members who don't gamble, but that's their personal choice of entertainment. And so, but as David points out, there are people who have, you know, serious addiction issues. And we, along with the Mohegans, are lifelong supporters of the Connecticut Council on Problem Gaming. We're at the table and we're addressing these issues. In fact, we remove individuals and we have people self-excluded as well who have these issues with gaming.
Rodney, can I ask why you don't gamble?
I have other hobbies. I have young kids, and I like to travel, and you know, I have other pastimes that I enjoy.
And Kevin Brown, would you like to respond to our caller, David?
Well, yeah. If I can just be very objective about it, Lucy, not to underwhelm the realities of everything that the caller pointed out, but objectively, you have to be honest with yourself that we're talking about less than 1% of those that actually come to our facilities are problem gamers, the kind of folks whose entire life has been negatively affected. That's 1 out of 100. 99 out of 100 are using it the right way, and for those that aren't, as Chairman Butler pointed out, we do what we can to make sure that they are not on the floor and involved. And I just also like to point out that one of the intricacies of this whole discussion is those monies that we pay to the state of Connecticut to help the Connecticut Council on Problem Gaming are focused on helping Connecticut residents. If we lose revenues here in this state from our gross gaming and the taxes that we pay to the state of Connecticut, because people are going into Massachusetts and gambling there, as our revenues decline, so does our ability to provide those funds that can take care of those few folks, those 1% that have the problems.
You can join the conversation, 860-275-7266. Thomas is calling from Hamden. Thomas, you're on Where We Live.
Oh, hi. Good morning. I just wanted to make a comment that it's more of a gut feeling, but I think the more gaming casinos are definitely a bad idea for Connecticut. I think Connecticut should put its emphasis on attracting more manufacturing jobs and allowing making it possible for corporations and companies to stay in Connecticut and move to Connecticut instead of we're doing just the opposite. We're leaving Connecticut, and we're filling the gap with Band-Aid situations like gaming casinos, which is just a temporary situation. And in the end, it it just doesn't make Connecticut attractive anymore, unless you're a gambler or whatever. But it's definitely not the thing to do. Manufacturing jobs will bring revenue and people into Connecticut. End of story.
All right, Thomas, thank you for your comment. And we're almost out of time. I wanted to turn again to the chairman of both the Mashantucket Pequot and Mohegan tribes. Before we head to break, update our listeners on what are the next steps. October 15th is just around the corner. Tell us about the towns that are interested and what happens. Rodney? Well, okay, or Kevin?
Yeah, as you pointed out, Lucy, October 15th is around the corner. We have seen some readjustments in some of the plans that have been proposed by the municipalities and developers already in the process, and we have received some outreach from new municipalities and new developers. So we've got our work cut out for us. We're going to spend the next few months going through the due diligence required to make the right selection, and then we're going to move to the legislature in the session after the turn of the year, and we're going to tell them where we want to go.
So you'll have a location by January for the legislature to weigh in on?
We really don't have much choice at this point. Mm-hmm. That has always been our task, and it kind of goes back to the timeline question. We are still where we plan to be at this point. Granted, we thought we would have already selected a site, but by the time we go back to the legislature, we will have chosen the site that we want to propose for the legislature to vote in a very open, transparent way, in an open hearing on the Hill in Hartford, and tell us whether or not we can proceed.
And when that certain town or city is chosen, will it then go to referendum so the residents can decide?
Well, each town is unique in that, and some towns require a referendum, some towns are city council, and so it's really up to that town.
All right. Well, I want to thank Rodney Butler, Mashantucket Pequot Tribal Council Chairman. Also, Kevin Brown, Mohegan Tribal Council Chairman, for joining the show. Again, they have a partnership. They're looking to locate a third Connecticut casino. And as we heard on the show, they're hoping to have that site chosen for the legislative session beginning in January. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Coming up, we're going to hear from some of the towns that are vying for that third casino. I do want to thank Hartford Business Reporter Ken Gosselin for joining us today, too. You can read his stories at thecurrent.com. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you for having me.
This is Where We Live. This is Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. Where We Live is looking for your questions, and we want to hear from you. Here's a topic we're going to dive into in an upcoming show. What have you always wanted to know about how your town government works? We want to know what you're curious about. You can enter your question at WMPR.org. Just look for that Ask WMPR banner, and we'll be in touch with you if we find an answer to your question. Today, we're talking about casino development in the region. MGM Springfield, slated to open in late 2018, the potential of a third Connecticut casino in central or northern Connecticut. So who wants a casino in their town? According to published reports, the Connecticut Airport Authority at Windsor Locks is interested, East Hartford, possibly Hartford. Joining us by phone now to talk about the town interest and what happens next is first selectman of Windsor Locks, Chris Kervick, and Marsha LeClerc, mayor of East Hartford. Welcome to the show.
Thank
Good morning.
I'll start with Chris. You're first selectman of Windsor Locks, one of the places that may be in the running for this third casino. What would this casino mean for your town if it were chosen?
That's an excellent question, and that's the question we've been trying to answer for the last year. I think the approach of Windsor Locks is we would like to be at the table and like to get to the point where we can actually sit down and have that conversation and find out what having a casino in Windsor Locks would mean for the town, so that we can make an informed decision, so our citizens can make an informed decision once we get that information. It's been kind of a frustrating process, hoping or waiting to get to that point where we can start that conversation.
You say it's been frustrating because Windsor Locks had put in a bid and then the process opened up again just mid-September?
It's a little bit broad to say that Windsor Locks put in a bid. Windsor Locks is the airport authority put in a bid, as did another location within the town just off the airport property, a company by the name of SportTech, which operates the off-track betting facility. And the way the legislation is written, in order for those proposals to be considered, the town has to at least endorse the RFP or at least say, yes, we'd like to take it to the next level. That's what we did in Windsor Locks. We said, yes, we'd like to be able to discuss these proposals as well as any other proposal for any other site that might emerge. That was done, actually it was done the day I took office in November. And since then, we've been just sort of following the process and hoping we can get to the point where we can discuss these proposals in more detail. Because right now, there's nothing more than some bare concepts, but there's no nuts and bolts.
I'll turn now to East Hartford Mayor Maria LeClerc. Again, thank you for joining the show.
Thank you very much.
So what's your take on how this process has been unfolding?
Well, certainly when you sit and wait and are hoping to be selected, it becomes a very frustrating process. So take that out of the equation. We believe our site is the best site for a host of reasons. And we have, continually brought those benefits to the attention of the tribes as well as some of our neighboring communities where we continue to have conversations about this is more than just a development opportunity for the town of East Hartford. This is a regional entertainment opportunity for the greater Hartford area and beyond. And we're looking at it from a much higher level. East Hartford sits right for the redevelopment of the Silver Lane. We've pulled in a lot of host of opportunities that are going to happen. We're going to have a referendum question that will bring dollars to acquisition of land along the Silver Lane corridor. We're in the middle of a transportation study through our CROG, our regional COG. We have recently received a BAR grant, which is a Brownfield Area-Wide Revitalization Grant, and we're going to do a full build-out scenario. Silver Lane is a gateway to the new Rensselaer Field Development Project. And certainly Silver Lane and having a casino and entertainment venue, we see the benefits not only to East Hartford, not only to our surrounding communities, but to downtown Hartford as we're a stone's throw away. We're right on the river. We're on the CT fast track line. We're have breaking ground this month or the beginning of November for a 450,000 outlet retail outlet center on Rensselaer Field, and that's just phase one. So we're in a renaissance in East Hartford, and we believe our nexus and close proximity to Hartford to support the tourism would be great.
Now, compared to some of the other towns in Hartford that are interested, you guys have a fairly thought-out proposal.
We have spent a lot of time. We have limited staff in the town of East Hartford, but we were very forward-thinking in that whatever we put forward was going to meet every requirement of the RFP. Our town council was supportive of us of putting that forward. We were happy to put our 380-plus page document online for transparency. We wanted to engage the public in that. We've had multiple conversations with the public, and the developer has had multiple speaking engagements. We've received a lot of support from our community to bring that opportunity to there. We know what it's like to have a large entertainment facility in the area on Rensselaer Field alone with the stadium. And hopefully, if we are fortunate enough to be the host community for the casino, we believe that it will spur other significant development in the area entertainment, and we'll continue to be a regional destination. Remember, East Hartford sits within the crossroads of New England. We also have five interconnecting routes and interstates. And with the frontage that it has on I-84, the number of vehicles per day that pass by that location are 130,000 vehicles. That exceeds any other location by over 36,000 that has put their bid in.
And Mayor LeClerc, can I just ask you, when did you find out that the process had been reopened to locate or to take proposals for this third casino? And what are some of your outstanding questions for the tribal partnership?
We received the notification just as the public did through the paper. I did receive a phone call after it was already announced that they were reopening it. Was I disappointed? I would be telling you I would be significantly disappointed. As you can tell, we have an excitement for this this project. But I do understand that they say that the MMCT venture is investing a significant amount of money, and they want to make sure that it goes in the right place. While I understand that, I'm more focused on what elimination of jobs and elimination of funds that roll from the Pequot funds into my community mean. So I think if everyone were to understand the devastating consequences that can arise if we don't step forward and support this new casino, as a municipal leader, I'm telling you that it wouldn't be pretty in my community, and certainly additional mill rate would raise and more taxes would be required of the residents, as would in other communities that receive Pequot funding.
Windsor Lock Selectman Chris Kervick is also on the phone. Tell me, what are some of the benefits and drawbacks of a third casino in Windsor Locks, Chris, from your residents' perspective?
Well, from a resident's perspective, I think that they're taking the approach that the Board of Selectmen is taking. Most of them are taking a wait-and-see approach. Until we know what it means in terms of revenue to the town, until we know what it means in terms of public services, police, fire, ambulance, those types of things, I think our residents are wisely taking a wait-and-see approach. I don't think the majority is opposed, the majority is against, the majority doesn't have enough information to make an informed decision. So that's kind of where we are. From the joint ventures perspective, oh, by the way, good morning, Marcia. It's good to talk with you. From the joint ventures perspective, I think the studies that are performed show that the farther up the I-91 corridor the casino is, the better off it is for the ultimate goal of keeping revenue within the state of Connecticut. I kind of think of it like a sort of this giant hockey goalie standing on I-91 North, and that goalie is going to do a much better job blocking shots if he's right in front of the goal as if he is somewhere out by center ice. So because of our geographic location on the 91 corridor, very close to the Massachusetts line, it makes this a very favorable location. And I hope we get to the point where there's a proposal on the table that it makes good sense for Windsor Locks and we get behind it. But if that doesn't happen, then we walk away. That's all of that remains to be seen, and we just aren't at the point yet where we can even evaluate it.
Mayor LeClerc made a good point in terms of what are the consequences if this this revenue doesn't come into her community. When we look at mill rate, I mean, is that a concern from your constituents?
Very much so. Yeah, very much so. The state has a lot to lose. The towns have a lot to lose by the drain that the Springfield Casino will put on our, on the revenue stream that Connecticut has been enjoying. And so that's why it's important that it goes somewhere. I agree that's really an essential part of preserving what we have. The question is where, and that's the process we're in now. And if Windsor Locks is chosen as the preferred site, then we'll sit down and we'll start figuring out what kind of arrangement can we make.
We had both chairmen of the tribes on in the previous segment, and they're looking for January as being the time when they name a site for their third casino. Is that something that you are holding out hope for?
January now? I didn't hear the earlier segment. I just came in straight from meeting. Yeah, Windsor Locks is undergoing some pretty exciting changes right now, and this issue is it sounds like a big one, but it's not the primary issue on our radar screen. Our main street is undergoing some major renovations, and we've got a lot of excitement here. So the casino has to fit in with that. If it's going to come, it has to fit in with what's happening overall in the town of Windsor Locks.
This raises some, we heard a little earlier from the chairman of the tribes, and they talked about how each of the prospective locations have, pros and cons, and I think you hear that equally here, in that East Hartford doesn't have the issues that Windsor Locks is Chris Kervick is bringing to the forefront, meaning they have a small police department, they have a smaller fire department, they have those kind of complicated issues, where East Hartford has a the largest police force east of the Connecticut River. That can meet the demands of this. We also have
And Mayor LeClerc, I'm sorry, we're almost out of time, but I do want to thank you, East Hartford Mayor Maria LeClerc. Also, Windsor Lock Selectman Chris Kervick. We're going to continue to follow this ongoing debate about where a casino will be located and the process here on Where We Live. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much.
Our show is produced by Lydia Brown and Jeff Tyson. Our technical producer is Kion Wolf. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchel. Thanks for listening.